you found little fossils in the chalk. But the teacher didn't know much about the flint. You found flints, harder than steel in chalk, the softest of rocks. Sometimes the shepherds chipped the flints, one flint against another, into knives. Not even the best steel knives could take an edge as sharp as flint. And men, in what was called on the chalk the olden days, had dug pits for it. They were still there, deep holes in the rolling green, filled with thickets of thorn and brambles. Huge, knobbly flints still turned up in the village gardens, too. Sometimes they were larger than a man's head. They often looked like heads, too. They were so melted and twisted and curved that you could look at a flint and see almost anything. A face, a strange animal, a sea monster. Sometimes the more interesting ones would be put on garden walls for show. The old people called those calkins, which meant chalk children. They'd always seemed odd to Tiffany, as if the stone was striving to become alive. Some flints looked like bits of meat, or bones, or something off a butcher's slab. In the dark, under the sea, it looked as though the chalk had been trying to make the shapes of living creatures. There weren't just chalk pits. Men had been everywhere on the chalk. There were stone circles half fallen down, and burial mounds like green pimples, where, it was said, chieftains of the olden days had been buried with their treasure. No one fancied digging into them to find out. There were odd carvings in the chalk, too, which the shepherds sometimes weeded when they were out on the downs with their flocks and there was not a lot to do. The chalk was only a few inches under the turf. Hoof prints could last a season, but the carvings had lasted for thousands of years. They were pictures of horses and giants, but the strange thing was that you couldn't see them properly from anywhere on the ground. They looked as if they'd been made for viewers in the sky. And then there were the weird places like Old Man's Forge, which was just four big flat rocks placed so they made a kind of half-buried hut in the side of a mound. It was only a few feet deep. It didn't look anything special, but if you shouted your name into it, it was several seconds before the echo came back. There were signs of people everywhere. The chalk had been important. Tiffany left the shearing sheds way behind. No one was watching. Sheared sheep took no notice at all of a girl moving without her feet touching the ground. The lowlands dropped away behind her, and now she was properly on the downs. Only the occasional baa of a sheep or scream of a buzzard disturbed a busy silence, made up of bee buzzes and breezes and the sound of a ton of grass growing every minute. On either side of Tiffany, the knack-mack feagles ran in a spread-out ragged line, staring grimly ahead. They passed some of the mounds without stopping and ran up and down the sides of shallow valleys without a pause. And it was then that Tiffany saw a landmark ahead. It was a small flock of sheep. There were only a few freshly sheared, but there were always a handful of sheep at this place now. Strays would turn up there, and lambs would find their way to it when they'd lost their mothers. This was a magic place. There wasn't much to see now, just the iron wheels sinking into the turf and the pot-bellied stove with its short chimney. On the day Granny Aching died, the men had cut and lifted the turf around the hut and stacked it neatly somewhere away. Then they dug a deep hole in the chalk, 6 feet deep and 6 feet long, lifting out the chalk in great damp blocks. Thunder and lightning had watched them carefully. They didn't whine or bark. They seemed more interested than upset. Granny Aching had been wrapped in a woolen blanket, with a tuft of raw wool pinned to it. That was a special shepherd thing. It was there to tell any gods who might get involved that the person being buried there was a shepherd, and spent a lot of time on the hills, and what with lambing and one thing and another, couldn't always take much time out for religion, there being no churches or temples up there, and therefore it was generally hoped that the gods would understand and look kindly on them. Granny Aching, it had to be said, had never been seen to pray to anyone or anything in her life, and it was agreed by all that even now she wouldn't have any time for a god who didn't understand that lambing came first. The chalk had been put back over her, and Granny Aching, who always said that the hills were in her bones, now had her bones in the hills. Then they burned the hut. That wasn't usual. but her father had said that there wasn't a shepherd anywhere on the chalk who'd use it now. Thunder and Lightning.